Okay, we're picking up on the top of Samech Ches Amud Aleph. The words of Devei Rabbi Yishmael, our learning is once again sponsored. Lu'ila Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So again, the Gemara is looking for another source for the Lach of the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that the father and the husband in the stage of Erusin, they have to be, they have to do Hafaras Nadarim together. They have to jointly remove the woman's neder. As we mentioned earlier on Shabbos in a recording, but we mentioned that this halacha is based on the concept that there's three stages to a woman. It's important to note them for the rest of the parak. The first one is aktana. Aktana is below the age of bas mitzvah. Then we have a naira, and then we have a bogeres. So the stage of Nairos is 6 months, from 12 to 12 and a half, then she's a Bogeris. Then once she becomes a Bogeris, at which point she is fully able to make her own Nadarim past 12 and a half, even if she's not married. Even if she's not married at that point, the halacha is she is able to make her own Nadarim. So we're talking about a Naira who has married. So she's done Erusin. She has done the Erusin stages. Also, we mentioned many times, there's two stages to marriage. There's Erusin, the first stage of marriage, and there's Nisuin. We do them together. What's Erusin is married on a fully Daraisa level when a person gives the woman the ring, and he says, Arayat mekudeshesli petabat zu kadas Moshe b'Yisrael. That is the level they're fully married Daraisa. If this woman sleeps with somebody else, she's chayav misa. However, there are certain halachas that, like in terms of inheritance, and in terms of the schusim that she has to do for her husband and he has to do for her, they are still considered not fully together until they complete the nisuin. Nisuin is for the completion of the marriage, and that's when the baal is a full kokulo, and in charge, but in control, the relationship between the husband and wife is solidified when you do nisuin. So now we're talking about that middle stage where it's erusin, so it's not fully in the reshus of the jurisdiction of the husband, like she's still living in her parents' house, but she is, again, married to him. So we're telling us that the halacha is, the Mishnah told us that if they hear about it, we know there's a special schus that the father and the husband have to be made for the nadarim. As we also mentioned, the difference between the hafaras nadarim and what we have in the sataras nadarim is that when we do the hafaras nadarim, they're able to only do it mekana lahaba. So the husband hears about it, whatever, the biyom shama, the day he hears about it, let's say it's a week later, that was the first day he heard about it, he was away and then he heard about it, and he's made for it on the spot. He doesn't want her to keep that neder. We're going to see what's in the category of things that he's allowed to do in the hemshech of the parak. That's going to be later on. But he's not happy with it. So that whole week she violated it. She said whatever it was, she's not going to be drinking oranges, and it was bothering him because he thought she would look nice if she drank it, whatever it might be. So that whole week she was violating her neder. So the halacha is, she is fully chayav. She's violated all those yisurim. That whole week she is considered as if she violated that yisur. However, when it comes to hataras nedarim, you go to the chacham, so he uproots the neder and gansa. When he says mutter lach, it's showing that there was no neder whatsoever. We uproot even retroactively lemafreya the entire neder. There's a difference between the hafara and the hatara of the hafara of the woman, that it's only mikan lahaba. From the day the husband hears about it, forever, then it's gone. But all those days previously that the woman had, or even if it's a few hours, if she violates the neder, in that interim, she would be chayav for violating her neder. Okay, so that was just a little bit of introduction up into the Mishnah's halacha. We're trying to find this another source that the father and the husband are going to do it jointly when she is an arusa. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Bein Ish Leishto, Bein Av Lubito. The pasuk tells us that these are the halachas that we say, right? That Asher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, Bein Ish Leishto, Bein Av Lubito, between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter, Bein Av Lubito, between a father's daughter, Bein Ureya, Bein Savia is the hemshech of the pasuk. That the Bein Ureya, Bein Savia is teaching you when she's in the father's house. So what do we learn? Mikan Lenara Murasa Shavi Levaro Mefeinu Nidareya. From this pasuk itself, from the fact that the Ran points out that it says specifically together, it has the lashon of Bein Av Lepito, the father and his daughter, and Bein Ish Leishto, a man to his wife. Those two halachas are mentioned together jointly to teach you the fact that you're going to be telling us that the married woman under discussion is still in her father's house. She's still in Arusa, and you need both the husband and the father to be made for the Nidarim. That's the lashon mashma de av ubal mefer nidareya, is the lashon of the Ran. That's what Rabbi Shmuel is learning from the drasha. Now the Gemara asks though, ulitana devei Rabbi Shmuel. Now according to Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, who learned this brisa, so what does he do with the pasuk that we had before? Im hayo ti yelish mayavid le. So what does he do with the pasuk that we said if she shall be with a man, which we learned on Rabba learned on yesterday's daf, he learned that that was the case of the arusa that the abala veavia mifirin nidareya, that the husband and the father are jointly going to be going to uproot the vow mikana lahaba. Since the Tana has a different pasuk, so what is he doing with the trush in this pasuk? It seems to be extra. What's this pasuk teaching us? So the Gemara answers, mukim leidach, really should say derabba over here, mukim idach le derabba, that he's going to use this drasha to teach us the other chiddush of Rabba. That later on, in daf ayin, we're going to have that Rabba is going to teach us the halacha that when a man marries a woman and does erisin, so he does erisin with her, and then the husband either dies or decides he doesn't want to marry her, divorces her from that stage. So now, the shaila is, does she go fully back to the jurisdiction of her father? So the fact that we have the drasha, which is teaching us the lashon mekish kod me'avaya lishniak the kod me'avaya, the lashon of the ran, that the two lashons, the two actions of kedushin, are comparing one to another. That just as the first kedushin, the father also is das is needed to be able to remove her vows. So too, when it comes to the second kedushin, the father is also able to remove her vow, even though there was a period where he wasn't in full control that he was married to somebody else. If she goes to nisuin, for example, that would not be the halacha. That would not be the case because once she leaves the rishus of her father, the father no longer has rishus to be able to uproot the nedarim. So according to this, we're understanding that we're learning from over here that he's teaching us that this is the drasha that we have for this point. So the Gemara says, now what about Rabba again? So that was Rabba who learns from over here that the Arusa's father and husband are able to mefer the Nadarim together. So from this Pasuk, Hai de Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Avedlai. So what does he do with the Pasuk of Tana de Rabbi Shmuel? So because this is an extra gesture now. The case of Bein Ish to Ish to Bein Alabito seems to indicate that there's a limud over here. So what is Rabba going to do with that? So Gemara says, Mibay Le Lomar Shabal Mayfair Nidarim should be no libina. That a husband is able to remove the vows that are between him and her. That's going to be a condition for him being able to uproot the vows. So that's what we learn, that it's only if they're involving a neder that, let's say she doesn't want to eat foods, then that's going to be inui nefesh. So according to Rabbah, that's teaching us that the husband is also able to make for nedarim that are affecting their relationship. Even if it doesn't involve him personally, there's bino lebina, and there's also inoy nefesh. If it's just something with inoy nefesh, like saying they're not having oranges, that is going to be something which the husband is able to uproot. Now what about Tana Devei Shmuel? So it's possible that he's going to learn this halacha also from this, as the Ran points out. Where is he going to know that you have to know bino lebina and also inoy nefesh? So the Ran points out, l'chori he has a hekesh between the Av and the Baal. Just like the Baal is only Beinu Labeina and Einu Nefesh, so too, it would be the same halacha with regards to the husband. The father and the husband are going to have the same halachas. That's how the Ran points out. They're not going to disagree with the halacha. They're just how they're able to get to that point. They must be that they learn it out from different drushas, but they're not arguing halacha l'maisa about this point. You need, you know, Nefesh or Dvarim Beinu Labeina. They have to be between him and her, as we're going to see later. And that's what Gemara is going to discuss. What are the Dvarim Beinu Labeina? That's what we're going to tell us. Okay. Very good. So now we just came on to we have now the source for the lach and the Mishnah, that you need both the father and the husband. So now the Gemara wonders the following question. Ibailo, Lamda Shachakir over here. We have the following question. Baal Megaz Gaiz, is the husband, when he's able to remove the vow, is he cutting away half the neder? Oh, Miklash Kalish. Or is he simply only weakening the entire neder? So the Gemara is assuming that, again, that both are able to do it, as we just pointed out, proved either from Tadr of Ishmael or Rabbah. It's clear that they both have the ability to do it. So the Gemara is wondering, what's this nature of the half? Is each one, is the husband, let's say, he's fully have the bailus over half of the neder, and therefore when he is matir half of that, or is made for half of that, it becomes entirely permitted, and the other half is just fully usur, or is each one half over the entire neder, and therefore when one removes the neder, he does not matir half of the neder, but both of them are going to still be usur. It's just a weaker neder until the other one comes about. Basically, I don't want to use the word all nothing, but it's similar to that, that thinking. That it should be that you need both of them. Is the neder still existent basically when one is made for, is it half is gone, the other half is fully there? Or is it the whole thing is just weakened? That you have like, let's say, you know, like a 5% neder on all of it, but it still exists on an entire 100%. So the Gemara says, what's the Hayecha Kambaylan? So what exactly are we asking about? What's the Nafkamina? What's the Nafkamina at the end of the day between this question is a nice Lamdash Gakir, but what's the difference? Halakha Lamaiser, is there Halakha Lamaiser difference? The Gemara says. So Gemara says, yes. Kegon de Nadra Mitrain Zaysin. I'll give you the following case. Let's say she decides to make a neder asring from two kizaisim of a certain food. And now what happens? Shama arus ve'ifirla. And now the arus hears about this neder and he wants to remove it. Ve'achaltun. And then she decides to eat two kizaisim. So now what's the difference? E arminan megas gaiz lake. So if we're going to say that he cuts away his half, so then she's fairly going to be able to be getting malchus on the other half, because it cuts away half the neder, so the other half is fully in existence, and now we don't know which one is which, that's the point, that's what we're specifically mentioning, that she ate two kizaisim, she ate both of them. So there's fully a neder on one of these kizaisim, we just don't know which one. So she ate both of them, she's definitely going to be chayav malchus, because she definitely violated her neder. And therefore, that one of those neder has a full-fledged iser on it, and she's going to be chayav malchus. However, if you say the other side of this chakira, yamrina and miklash kolish, if you assume that you're just weakening the entire neder, so really, it's just 100% of the neder, so both kizaisim are now just a lower level kizaisim, because one of them was made for the neder, then isura ba'alma hu. So that it's going to be is simply something which is usr, because it's a weaker isr, and we're assuming that you wouldn't get malchus for this weaker isr, because again, we're assuming that every piece of kazayas that she's eating has isr in it to her. It's part of violation of her nether, but it's a lower level isr. It's not a level which you could give her malchus, and therefore it's going to be not going to be chayav malchus. And the Gemara asks, Mai, what is the halacha maisa over here? Okay, a very nice, interesting chakira. Just the Achrona point out there could be another nafkamina. The Gemara doesn't bring this up. But the Ramah in Yoredeah, Simon Reish Lamad Gimel, he quotes B'Shem the Mordechai, that we have a halacha that ain't a shalom on a neder shehukam, that a person's not supposed to do a taras tadarim on a neder which had been affirmed by the, confirmed by the husband or the father. So now, if that's the case, so if you have one zayas, which is not hukam yet, and so then we could still be mashil aleha, and then we'd be matted the whole neder. Why? We have got a principle, kemen shehuter miktrasar, huter kulo. However, if the whole neder is considered as being mukam and miktras, then we would not be able to say this halacha. So they point out, maybe this is a raya from the Ramah, that would be another nafkamina, is that lechora we could assume that maybe the Ramah is assuming that it's miklash kolish based on that. At least maybe this should be a nafkamina. Bring it up. Maybe it's another nafkamina. Bring Reb Chaim. Maybe it's a raya that seems to hold like one of these ways. Interesting chakira. Another potential halacha that comes out of this question. Again, because if you assume it's miklash kolish in that example, then as soon as one of them hears about it, then for sure you'd not be able to do alfaris nedarim on that anymore, even when my other hears about it. Okay, interesting point. Now the Gemara says vaiter. So let's just leave that point for a side now, but back to our question, how are we going to view it? Again, is she going to be chay malchus or not? So now the Gemara brings along Braisa Tashma from the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, it's important, the Braisa is coming off the Mishnah. We have verses in Mefarish Mishnah. So the Mishnah on Daf Ayin tells us the case where we have a Nara Murasa. A Nara Murasa, again, is the woman is from 12 and 12 and a half, and she was married. She's in the Irison stage to her husband. And now the father and the husband are needed to be able to be made for the Nadar. So the Mishnayos over there are talking about what happens if the father dies. So the Mishnah tells us that we don't, no stroke, that we don't remove the rights to the husband. The father's rights does not transfer to the husband, and therefore you're not able to be made for the Nadarim until the husband does Nisuin. If the husband dies, however, let's say the other round, the husband dies, then the rights would transfer back to the father. So the Braisa now is going to go weiter in discussing the case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Emasai Amru Mesabal Nisrok Narashus La'av. When do we say that if the husband dies when he was in Arusa to this woman, that the right goes back and transfers back to the father? Bisman Shalo Shama Habal Kodem Shiyamus. That when the husband did not hear about this neder before he died. Or, Shishama, or if he did hear about it, if you heard about the neder, v'shasak, oh shishama v'hefer, or really, it should really say, oh shishama v'hefer, oh shishama v'shasak, umeis bo bayom. Or if he heard about the neder and he wanted to uproot it, or he heard about it and he was silent and died on that very day before the day passed. So you don't have the full biyom shamo. So that's what we're trying to bring out over here, that we have really three examples showing, demonstrating this halacha, that the father would be able to be made for the nedarim only when the husband did not he did not confirm, he wasn't make him the neder before his death. In the three examples, the Braisa is telling us the husband either wanted to explicitly be made for it, or it wasn't the end of the day, and therefore the right would go back to, or he didn't hear about it, right? Those are three examples, the right would then go back to the father. Zoe Shishaninu Mesabal Nisrok Narashus La'av. This is what we're telling us, the halacha, that way which you learn that the husband dies, the right goes back to the father. It's important to note in the last example, the Bryce is telling us that the husband dies on that very day. Because that teaches us again, because the day, you need the entire day. So if he doesn't die, if he hears about it, and then like an hour later, he has the entire day, so he dies an hour later, let's say, that would not be considered a hearing about and a confirmation until the end of the day passes. That's where Duran points that out, that that's the diak from the Braisa. So we say that this is the example that the father then goes back to his full rishus to be able to be made fair, to be made for the neder. Aval im shama v'kayam. However, if the husband heard about the neder and he confirmed it, he said explicitly, I'm making this neder. I think it's a good neder for her to take. Oh, shajama v'shasuk umeis b'yom shel acharav. Or in our example, the second example, he actually did hear about it the entire day, and he only died the very next day. So then, in yachalei fair, then the father would not be able to revoke the vow because in this example over here, the husband already heard about it, and he kept it, and therefore he no longer goes back to the father. And that is, even if the husband dies, it's too late. He no longer is able to remove the vow. So we have basically over here these cases. So now the Gemara continues. Shama avia v'heferla. If her father heard about the neder and he wanted to be made for it, he removed the neder. Velo yispik balish mo'achemeis ha'av. However, the husband didn't have time to be able to be made for the neder until the father suddenly died. Zoe shishaninu meisav lo nisrok nershus labal. This would be an example that which we learn that if the father dies, the right that he has to be able to remove the neder does not transfer to the husband. The Rana is explaining that the Brais is teaching us the salacha that how far it doesn't transfer the husband even when you have this case that the father actually wanted to be able to be matir the neder. It comes out from the Gemara and Daf Ayin and Mabez, the Rana quotes that until the husband hears about the neder, he's not considered as if he has any rishus on the neder whatsoever. He has no jurisdiction over it. So therefore, the father is greater when the husband has not heard about the neder yet. So the Braisa, so he's telling us it's even a bigger chiddush, Ron says. Just had the Braisa simply told us that the husband just doesn't have any koach to remove the neder if the father is matir and dies, we might have thought that this is only to a neder that the husband had heard about and therefore had equal jurisdiction. The point of the Braisa is saying no, even where he hadn't even heard about it yet. The father heard about it and removed it. And then the husband hears about it later. Even in that case, the Ron says, in that example, that still, even in that case, the husband is not able to be made for the neder. That's the Ron's pointing out is the chiddush over here. Then the Ron asks, why would it be? Why can't the husband just complete the process? That's a big tarachin over here. Why can't he? The father was mat to the neder. So why shouldn't it be? So this gets into a little bit the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. This might be a raya. I forgot who says what now. I don't remember. I think the Rambam is of the opinion they used to be on the same day. That it's not enough, even on a regular case, but nobody dies. The Rambam, I think it's Rambam, if I'm getting it wrong, then forgive me. It's one of them holds one way, one of those others, Machlokas. The Rambam, I think, holds that, the Baal hears today is Sunday. So the Baal hears about it today. So the Rambam holds that both the Baal and the Av have to actually be made for the nether on the very same day. That's the halacha, according to the Rambam. Whereas the Rambam says, no, if the husband hears about it today, and the father hears about it 4 days later. That's his Yom Shema 4 days later, and he's made for it also. Then it's also uprooted. So that's the machlokas. So if you hold that it actually both needed on the same day, that works very nicely over here, because here maybe the husband was dying over here. The husband died already, and it wasn't the same time anymore. So maybe you need them to actually be on the same time, the same day. We see from the Rambam Yisod, maybe they need it at the same time. That would actually work out nicely for this Gemara. So okay, that's the halacha over here. So now the Braisa continues to even yet another case. That's the Braisa now. Shama baila v'heferla. If the husband heard about the neder and removed it, v'lo yispik avlish mo'ach mesa bal. Now the father didn't manage to hear about the neder until the husband already died. The husband died suddenly. So then, zoi shishaninu mesa bal nisrok roshosav. This would be an example that which we learn if the husband dies, the right to transfer goes to the father. This is very similar, almost identical to the first case where it was taught that if the husband remove the neder, and then he dies, the right goes to the father. This is only, the only chiddush over here is telling us that the father didn't manage to hear about the neder until the husband actually died. And that's the chiddush over here. That the price, that's the extra chiddush over here, that he didn't even hear about it at the same time, yet over here, actually this wouldn't be right from the Rambam, because it's, okay, fine, or forget maybe the chiddush is in the Rambam before, but either way, that this is telling us that in this case, that half transfers to the father after the death, I would have thought maybe that's not the case over here, because this was only after the husband had already died, maybe the husband doesn't, the father doesn't have that koach. The price is telling us explicitly, no, that he does have that koach, that he would have this koach, and therefore, that's the chiddush of the brace over here. So just to review, we have five different cases. Case one is if the husband dies without being make him the neder, either because he didn't hear about it, or because he heard and he wanted to be made for the neder, or because he was silent and he died in the middle of the day. So then the halacha is, the rights go back to the father. He would be allowed to be made for the neder. In case number two, was that if the father was matir the neder, and he died before the husband heard about the neder, so it does not go back to the husband. That was case number two. Case number three was that if the husband was matir the neder, and he died before the father had a chance to hear about it, so then the right does go back to the father. Case number four is the husband was made for the neder, and the father died without hearing about the neder, the right does not go back to the husband. And then case number five, we just had right now, is if the father was made for the neder, and the husband died without hearing about the neder. So that would be the examples of here, that again, Shama Baila Vehefer Lo, Vele Speak Av, Lishma, Shmisabal, that's the case where he doesn't go Rishus La'av. Fine. So now, the Braisa is going to tell us another example of case number four. Right, again, case number four is where we have, if the husband was made for the neder and the father died without hearing about the neder, the right does not go back to the husband. So the Gemara says now, Shama Baila Vehefer Lo, what happens if her husband hears about the neder and he removes it? Velo Speak Av, Lishma, Ad Shemes. So and the father did not manage to hear about the neder until he dies. The husband cannot remove the neder. Because the husband only has the koach to be able to be mati the neder in partnership with the father. Even though the Braisa seemingly told us this again with the second case, so the Ran points out that this is a little bit different, because in the previous case, even though the father removed his portion of the neder, since he died before the process of the hafara was completed by the husband, the father became ki'ilu batal, and therefore it goes to full neder. In order to affect the hafara, the husband would have to be made for the entire neder. So in this case, I would have thought that the neder is very weak right now, because the husband already was matir his neder without having the father heard about the neder, and the husband is still alive to be able to remove that neder. So therefore, the Ran says, I would have thought in this case that the husband should have at least the effect over here. So that's the chiddush, and the Braisa teaches us no. That's why the Braisa is mentioned in this case again. The Ran says because for this additional chiddush. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up by the Shama Avia Vehefer La. We didn't get to the Raya. We'll have to, I guess, summarize this again and get to the Hamshech of the Raya Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's daf.